Love that hymn, not just for the words, but also the Jewish sound of it, reminding us of the Jewish roots of our faith. And similarly today, as we come to this fourth commandment, you might wonder, what is the relevance of a commandment like this for the modern day? Honestly, Richard, you're going to talk about the Sabbath? Is that not a Jewish term? Is that not an Old Testament thing? What's that possibly got to do with us in modern society? Let me say a few things just by way of preliminaries before we get to the main deal today. First of all, as we consider these Ten Commandments, this is the longest and the most detailed of all ten of the Ten Commandments. Does that not make it significant? For to us, certainly looking at these commandments, if we were to draw up an opinion poll and to ask modern people to rank them 1 to 10, probably would the fourth commandment come at the bottom of the list. This would be least important on our list of 10 commandments. Secondly, people would say as well that this is a Jewish regulation, that it was a Jewish practice, so it's really not relevant to us. And yet the practice of a Sabbath day is found in the second chapter of the book of Genesis. Long before there was a Jewish nation, long before there were any Jewish, where there was any Jewish religion. Genesis 2, God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. It wasn't that God was exhausted after working for that first week of creation. It's that he was establishing the principle of one day and seven long before there was any Jewish nation or any Jewish religion. Thirdly, there's been much ado, and just making a few preliminary comments here, much ado in society about the moral revolution that's going on, the abortion legislation. And if you haven't answered the government's consultation, you have until 11:45 tomorrow night. The redefinition of marriage has caused much upheaval and questionings. But you know, hardly anybody raises a squeak anymore about the liberalizing of Sunday trading laws. When I was a boy in Belfast, shops weren't open in Belfast, except for the odd garage here and there. There were no cinemas, no pubs, no leisure centers. Now they're all open. And even among Christians, there is a decided lack of any interest in upholding the Lord's Day. It's all but gone in modern society. So what are we to do then with the Ten Commandments, having made those preliminary comments, the ten words? Should we rename them the Nine Commandments? Should we rename them the Nine Words? Did God get it wrong? For if Jesus replaced all the Jewish regulations and rituals when he came, how come he called himself in Mark chapter 2 the Lord of the Sabbath? What did that mean if the Sabbath had been dissolved? Because he said the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. Not was Lord of the Sabbath, is Lord of the Sabbath. So having made those preliminary comments just to get you thinking, let me just move to two main headings today as we try to understand the Lord's Day. I want to talk about it as a day to refrain and as a day to revere. A day to refrain and a day to revere. First of all, a day to refrain. And of course, I'm talking about refraining from working as God refrained on the first week of creation. God blessed the seventh day and made it holy because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. Now, of course, there are some jobs that still require to be done. Medical jobs, for example. Cows need milked, electricity needs to be kept running, emergency services need to be in place. So this is not a demand for everyone in society to refrain from doing everything. Some jobs must be done, and it would be negligent or harmful not to do them. But what this is saying is that the Israelites were to remember how it was for them when they were slaves back in Egypt. That said in verse 15, remember that you were slaves in Egypt. In Egypt, they were slave labor force. They were engaged in the building of store cities in the blazing hot Egyptian sun. They were whipped. They were beaten day in and day out. They were worked like dogs. How they would have loved for a day of rest, but no, they were slaves. They were worked like dogs. And how many modern people are there? It's funny, isn't it? We pride ourselves that we're free. We sing songs like "Rule Britannia," "Britons never, never, never will be slaves." And yet for so many people, they live life as slaves. Slaves to their work, slaves even to their play. We have slogans like "work hard, play hard." And people drive themselves, and often they drive themselves into the ground, and stress abounds. I looked up an NHS website for a definition of stress, and this is what it says. Stress is the feeling of being under too much mental or emotional pressure. Pressure turns into stress when you feel unable to cope, although some people are motivated by stress, it says, and that's true. But it goes on, many of life's demands can cause stress, particularly work, relationships, money problems. Stress can affect how you feel, think, behave, how your body works. It can lead to sleeping problems, sweating, loss of appetite, difficulty concentrating, anxiety, irritability, low self-esteem, etc., etc., etc. You don't need me to tell you that today we are living in a stressed out world. And people are stressed, and I know it's multifaceted, but how much stress would we save ourselves if we took one day off in seven? Would it not be better for people? Would it not be better for society? Would it not be better for the stresses and strains on the NHS? Yet we think we know better than God. We think we can drive ourselves day in and day out. We can just keep going. But here is the all-wise God commanding us to observe the Sabbath day, to refrain from working. It's a day to rest, to desist, to lay down your tools, to break the routines, just as He demonstrated at the end of creation week. And it's interesting too, just another dimension to this refraining from work is the command also that we should not make other people work on the Sabbath if we can avoid doing so. Verse 14, the Sabbath day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you or your son or daughter. In other words, if you stop working, don't tell your son and daughter to do the work. It's all right for you to sip your feet up if you're commanding your manservants and your maidservants to get out and do the work. And even the ox and the donkey and the animals, or the alien who has come in within your gates, your manservants and your maidservants, you're also to give them the day off work also. Here is our God's concern, not just for the heads of houses, but also for others within the houses as well. Used to be in manor estates, for example, big mansion houses, you know, the kind of old country estates that there used to be. The landlords would have built chapels and churches for staff, perhaps, if they were in large estates or wealthy estates. Or else everybody marched down to the local congregation, wherever that would have been in the local village, like the Queen does when she's staying at Balmoral. They go down to Crathy for the Christmas service. And the old landlords would have done that, many of them God-fearing, many of them Christian, because they knew that they weren't just going to take a day off themselves. It was important their men servants and maid servants had a day off too, at least half a day, so that they could go and worship God. Asking others to do what we're not doing ourselves is not a biblical principle. And so just to apply this to us, it's great for us to come here, and it's great for us to worship God, and we're going to come to the other half of this in a minute or two. But you know, if we are hitting the petrol stations, the shops, and the restaurants on the Lord's Day, are we not contributing to the employment of other people? Would it not be better for them, for their families, if they were able to take a day off? if they were able to have a day set apart? How is it keeping the commandment if we ourselves refrain from working, yet we force others to do what we maybe wouldn't do ourselves? In a kind of pious or pietistic, well, I wouldn't do that. You know, I wouldn't work on a Sunday, but I'll happily go and expect them to work on a Sunday. And it's lovely here, the compassion of God is even upon the animals. It's important that we are good to our animals, nor ox, nor donkey, nor any animals. They also are to be given this day of rest. And our neighbors or our aliens who have come in amongst us, we're not to force them and make unholy demands of them. This is a commandment here that is for our good and for the good of our staff and for the good of our animals even. God is concerned for your health, for your mental state, for your body. God is concerned for you. You're just not a machine. The advertisements are fuel. They talk about food as fuel nowadays. Well, food isn't fuel. Food's just food. You're not a machine. You put fuel into a machine. God has made us as living beings. So the first part of this commandment is a commandment to refrain, to lay down your tools, to take time off, to desist, to cease from your labor. The other half, the other title that I'm going to run with today, it's a day to refrain, it's also a day to revere. Now, what I mean by that? Well, the commandment begins in verse 12, keep the Sabbath day to sanctify it, to make it holy. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, says Exodus 20, for in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the Sabbath day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. I wonder, a housewife perhaps has a pile of ironing, and she's dreading getting started on the pile of ironing. She's thinking, I'm going to be standing here for hours. But when it's over, when she's completed the pile of ironing, she sits down with a cup of tea, and what does she maybe do? She admires the ironing. She's got through it. It's done. And then when her husband comes home, he admires the pile of ironing as well, that it's been done, but he also admires his wife for doing that work. And likewise, I'll balance it. The man is out in the garden, and the mum's gone into town to do a bit of shopping, and when she comes home, the grass is cut, the hedges are trimmed, the leaves are all tidied up, and everything's spick and span, and she admires the garden as she drives down the driveway, but then she admires her husband for doing the work and for making the place so neat and tidy. And that's like a bit of what's going on here in Genesis chapter 2, where God finishes the work he has been doing. He rests and he blesses the Sabbath day. He sanctifies it. It's as if God steps back from the work of creating the universe and he just sits down and he admires it. The stars, the seas, the whales, the walruses, the speed of the cheetah and the hummingbird, the delicacy of the bluebell and the bumblebee, the majesty of the elephant and the redwood tree. He just admires it. And you know, the Lord's day is about stepping back from life to admire the Creator God. That's what it's about. To adore him. It's not a day for you and me to do whatever we want to do. It's to admire God, to respect him, to adore him, not because he's needy, but because he's great. The God of creation and the God of salvation. But let me move on slightly in this, because I'm referring not just to the Sabbath today, but I'm also calling this day the Lord's Day. This comes from Revelation chapter 1, from Acts chapter 20, from 1 Corinthians chapter 16, where the Lord's Day, John says in the first chapter of Revelation, on the Lord's Day I was in the Spirit, and I heard behind me a voice like a trumpet. No longer does it be the case here that the Sabbath day, as it's called in Judaism, is called the Sabbath day in Christianity, although we still use that term sometimes. But now it's become the Lord's Day. The Jews have Saturday as their rest day, but the Christian church has what we call Sunday as the Lord's Day. Why the change from Saturday to Sunday? Well, B.B. Warfield, the great theologian, put it like this. He said, Christ took the Sabbath into the grave with him, and he brought the Lord's Day out of the grave with him on resurrection morning. The reason why we have the Lord's Day now, what we call Sunday, the first day of the week, is because it's the day Christ rose from the dead on. It's the day of new creation. It's the day of the sun coming up after the darkness of Calvary. It's the day of new life. Therefore, we meet on this day. The firstborn from the dead, our Lord is called, the bright morning star, the sun of righteousness. And Paul, when he's writing to the Ephesians, he says in chapter 5 to those people, he says, wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. This is why we meet on what we call Sunday or the Lord's Day, because of the significance, this new thing of Christ's resurrection. And the Christians are those who have encountered this Christ and who now know him, and they want to meet together on the day he rose from the dead. So let me end with a few practical applications for how these things work out in practice. Let me say this first of all. Is the Lord's Day the climax of your week? Or is the Lord's Day the anti-climax of your week? Now answer me honestly. Is it the climax of your week or the anti-climax of your week? Is it the best day or the worst day? Wish it was over. Is it the day you enjoy or the one you endure? Someone has put it like this. Too many people see corporate worship as a good thing to do, as long as the weather isn't too good, as long as the football match isn't more interesting, as long as they're not tired and in need of a long lie-in. I mean, we meet at 12 o'clock, folks. It's not like we're meeting at dawn. But many people, they say they need a long lie-in. For isn't it the case that we may say, Jesus is Lord? Oh, Jesus is Lord. Yet we end up showing that soccer is the real Lord. Shopping is the real Lord. Swimming lessons for the kids or show jumping or sleep is the real Lord. What Lord do you serve? What Lord do you worship? And you might say to me today, oh, you're being very legalistic, Richard, today, preaching on the Ten Commandments, oh, all that sort of stuff. Well, let me say this. If your version of Christianity, whatever version you have, doesn't make any demands of you, it isn't Christianity. It isn't. If any man would come after me, let him deny himself, said Jesus, and take up his cross. Follow me. We're not messing about here. I'm not here today to do a wee kind of, you know, homily that everybody will go away feeling good on. This is the Lord's command. Secondly, how committed are you to weekly worship? You might say it's a good idea, but how committed are you to weekly worship? God didn't command one day a month for worship, or one day a quarter, or one day a year. One day a week is the commandment. In his book on the Ten Commandments, if you're looking for a modern book, Kevin DeYoung, it came out in 2018, he says this, I've been a pastor for more than 15 years now, and in those years I fear that I have seen regular Christians treat weekly worship less and less seriously. And I have to say, I'm a minister now 25 years, and I have seen saved people treating worship less and less. See, I'm not thinking of the unsaved now. I'm thinking of the saved people less and less seriously. Hebrews 10 puts it like this: let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. Notice that, the habit of doing. But let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching, the day of judgment. For judgment begins at the house of God. So parents, let me ask you today, what about the example in your house? Is church a given? The day we go to church, no matter what, unless there's illness or something else, even when we're on holiday, this is the day we go to church. Or is it the day we try to squeeze in church? Or is it the day we show our children church is optional and really we can live with or without it? There are many good habits that parents try to pass on to their children, but surely weekly worship ought to be one of them. As Kevin DeYoung again says, Sunday is the day the Lord has given you to attend to your soul. The story is told of a church member talking to his minister. The man said to the minister, I phoned you on Monday, but there was no reply. Yes, replied the minister, Monday is my day off. A day off, replied the self-righteous church member. The devil doesn't have a day off. That's right, said the minister, and if I didn't take time off, I'd be just like him. You see, what happens when we just think we can do without and keep going and not rest and not revere the Lord? We get tense and we snap. We become unlike Christ. Thirdly, use the day positively. Jesus healed the sick on the Sabbath. We can't heal the sick, but we can visit them, encourage them, help them. Jesus attended worship, Luke chapter 4 says, as was his custom. I'm quite sure the synagogue in Nazareth wasn't the greatest place of worship in the world. But the scriptures were read. The scriptures were preached. Jesus was there, as was his custom. If you claim to be following Jesus, you can hardly do anything less than what Jesus did. He walked with the disciples through cornfields on the Sabbath day. Exercising is fine. I'm sure reading Christian books is good practice. Isaiah says, call the Sabbath a delight. Whereas in Amos's day, the people were saying, oh, when will this all be over so we can get back to work? They just didn't say it in a Belfast accent. But you know what I'm saying? And lastly, let me say, and this is why I read from Hebrews chapter 4, the importance of the Sabbath is picked up there because Sabbath rest is a picture of what salvation is. All the religions of the world, bar Christianity, are works religions. They're all works religions. Do, 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 do. But the faith that Christianity is a religion of done. Finished work of Christ. We rest in Christ. Boris Johnson got elected on the slogan, get Brexit done. Well, we don't need to say, get atonement done, because it is done. It's been done by Christ, and so we rest in Christ. And what did Jesus say in Matthew chapter 11? Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Sabbath rest is in Christ. Peace of conscience. No more guilt. No more fear. But in Christ we have the peace of God that passes all understanding. And the Sabbath day is a day for resting. Oh, folks, I encourage you, if you're a Christian, to live a rested life. Yes, work for the Lord, but live a rested life. Don't be a fretting, driven person, but rest in the Lord. Live out a rested life. And it's good to work, and many of us are good workers in our communities, and we work at our jobs, and we work in the church. That is good, but be a rested Christian. Serve the Lord on the basis of rest. Frantic Christianity is no advertisement for the gospel. I don't believe Jesus ever rushed or was hassled or stressed. And if we follow him, we can hardly be anything less than him. So remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, as the Lord your God has commanded you. Let's pray.